Well, I have a few things to say before we get started tonight. You know, preachers, if our sermon's not long-winded enough, our announcements will be. So, first of all, I want to thank you for having me back. There are not many people, including my wife, who want me more than 3 years in a row. So, I appreciate having the opportunity of coming here. And truthfully, I wanted to share with you what I thought. This was on my calendar for a long time to come back here in February. And they had kind of an emergency situation, and our college got involved in it. And they asked me to go to Honolulu. And, you know, they try to entice you as if you have to be enticed to go to Honolulu. And they said, come here a few days, and you can stay extra and all this kind of stuff, you know. But I had this on my calendar, you know, and I said, you know, I can't stay extra. I'm not even sure I can stay for it. But I wanted to come back here. I want to be here. And there's something more important here than green mountains that have clouds on. Well, although while I was in Honolulu, they had to flash flood watch. And so I went from one thing to another. But anyway, I'm glad to be here with your pastor and his wife and those two cute little boys. We're Brother Donnie back here with him. I just want to say something. I haven't heard one bad thing about any of you from your pastor. I haven't heard anything. I just want to tell you very quickly what life was like for me, okay? When I was a young guy with little kids, do I have this on right? Because it sounds like it's kind of buzzing against something here. But when I was a young staff member, we had small children, my parents lived about 6 hours away, and my wife's parents lived about 20 hours away. And I will never forget one time we had these very sweet people in the church. I mean, they were just as sweet as they could be. And we said to them one time, you know, could you watch our kids for us? We want to go have a date. And they said, no, we're busy. And the next people said the same thing. You know? And you know what? Your pastor hasn't complained about a thing. Brother Don hasn't complained about a thing. You know, but you know, I want you to think about the fact that when God brings people in, He doesn't always bring their families with them. And just think about that. That's got, you know, kind of roll that through your head a little bit. And just think about that and take care of them like you would family, because he can't roll out to Massachusetts and have someone watch the kids for a day, or you know, all that kind of stuff that happened. He brought his mother with him, but that's another story. It gets so desperate sometimes. Desperate means for desperate, you know, whatever. And so, but I want you to think about the fact that in the ministry that I have, not every place has a pastor. Not every place has an associate pastor. And so you want to be careful to take care of them. And some of them have bad ones. Okay? I know when I first came in here, I think there were some people who might have had the thought that the pastor might be taking the church down the slippery slope of music, you know. And I heard all the songs tonight. If that's a slippery slope, put me sliding down the slope, you know. I mean, but you know, not everybody has someone who's just staying faithful. So take care of them. Just be sure that you take care of them. And then I have this public service announcement. I'm looking over here at Uncle Joe. I don't know if you are aware of this, but this year my wife had LASIK surgery. And, you know, so her eyes, now she doesn't have, she's lost more contacts, you know, we've spent more hours looking for her dropped contact. She's got LASIK surgery, and suddenly she could see more clearly. So I'm just telling you, Brother Joe, that announcement, because the first time I saw you, you were alone. The second time I saw you, you were with somebody. Now, the next time you need to be married, you need to do this quickly, because if she has LASIK surgery and sees what you really look like, it's going to be a bad situation. So what thou do quickly, you know, because they've got machines now that can fix everything. I don't know. It's just one of those situations. So, oh my goodness. It's good to be here. I think I better go to the Bible. Okay. Would you turn with me in your Bible to the book of Malachi? The book of Malachi, chapter 1. It's right before the book of Matthew. It's the last book of the Old Testament. My sermon tonight is called, I'm Tired of It. I'm Tired of It. Okay? Now let's just take a look here. We're going to just take this scripture apart and see if we can learn anything from it. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 1 and verse 1, the burden of the Lord, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? God answers back, was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I love Jacob. And I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, Edom is the same as Esau, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. That is to say, the border of Israel and not the border of Edom. Now, in this opening section, it's kind of tricky. If you don't follow it real carefully, I want to show you that Malachi starts out and he says to these people, you are a privileged people. That's his first point. He said, you're a privileged people. Now, they were saying, and if you read Malachi much, you'll see there's a lot of this question and answer bit. And the Lord said, I loved you. And he said, show me how you loved me. And God said, I want you to know that I love you and that you're privileged because I chose you. They said, now Israel, now you keep in mind, I could have chosen Esau. Could have chosen, we know Esau is Edom, same, right? Could have chosen them. He said, but I chose you. Now, I don't want to get into this whole business of Calvinism and Arminianism, chose and pre-chose and all, we understand all that we have to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. But I think we also understand that when we have the privilege of being saved, that's something special. And I think that we also understand that God was looking for us a lot before we were looking for Him. You know, when I was a 7-year-old boy riding that bus to vacation Bible school, I was thinking about my bicycle. I was thinking about beating up my sister. I was thinking about, eating a popsicle. I was thinking about going to Dairy Queen. I wasn't sitting there saying, Lord, I would like to search out the deeper things of God. I wasn't thinking that. But God was looking for me. And Malachi starts here by saying, God says, I loved you. But you say, wherein hast thou loved us? And that first question's a tough one. That's a tough question. Let me put it in 21st century language. God says, I love you. And you say, how come I don't have a new Mercedes? God says, I love you. And you say, how come I don't have more money in the bank? If you love me, God, how come I have to struggle? God says, I love you. Yeah, you say, yeah, but show me. How come you love me? And I got these health issues. And God says, hey, I love you. Yeah, well, God, if you love me, why do I have some of these family sorrows? And God says, no. You're looking the wrong thing. I love you, and I prove it to you because I chose you. I chose you. Okay? Now, you don't have to answer this question out loud, but I'm going to ask you a question. Are you saved? Do you know that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Okay, if you know that you're saved, you can say, God chose me. And that puts you in the category of a privileged person. Now, if you lose sight of that, you say, well, Dr. Zachary, you say that I'm privileged. Well, if I'm privileged, why does my child have, why do I have, and the question, if you know that you were a hellbound sinner, but you are a heavenbound saint, then you've got to remember, I am privileged. Now, I've mentioned this just recently. When people lose sight of the fact that they're privileged, there's nothing to make them happy. It is a privilege to be a member of this church. And when people think it's not a privilege to be here, they don't like the carpet, They don't like the Sunday school teacher. They don't like the sound system. They don't like the song. There's nothing you can do for somebody who doesn't take it on himself to remember it is a privilege to be saved. And when you, now let me just tell you, and I've known you for a few times. I'm not trying to be hard on you. But if you're just sitting there thinking, I don't care. I don't think it's such a privilege. People are not giving me it. Oh, that is dangerous territory. It is a privilege to be a Christian. It's a privilege for me to play the piano. It's a privilege for me to stand in this pulpit and preach a sermon. It's a privilege for me to go out and eat. Okay, I like doing things for God. And if I have the attitude, oh man, I got to play the piano again. Oh man, you know, I got to preach again. Oh man, that is dangerous territory. And so God says in these opening verses of Malachi, do you see it yourself? Verse 2, I have loved you, but ye say, where it has loved? And God says, was not Esau Jacob's brother? Yet I loved Jacob. I chose him. Well, let's go a little bit further. So we can see in the first five verses of this chapter, there's a privileged people. Verse 6, so God shows this very interesting story. He says, a son honoreth his father, and a servant honoreth his master. God says, if I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name? And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? And God says, you offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? My second point is polluted bread. We've got here in Malachi, we have a privileged people that are offering polluted bread. Now, let me just give you the picture here. Okay? Why do you reckon that they're offering polluted bread? Because they had forgotten that they were privileged. And they were saying, God, I don't even see that you love me. I don't even see that. So now it's time to go. And of course, you know, we don't do this nowadays. It was a different time, different period in biblical history. They had certain bread they offered, the show bread. They had certain lambs they brought in, you know. And they had all that in the church. And so I can see these people, you know. We got to have some bread, you know. Hey, Mama, we got any old moldy bread that we can give? I don't want to give the good stuff. That's what they're doing. They're offering polluted bread. We got any leftover scraps that the dog kind of licked through? We'll bring that to church and give that. And Malachi, God says through Malachi, he says, okay, let me just ask you a question. He says, now, you're going to have the governor to your house. And you're going to feed the governor a meal. And what are you going to give to the governor? Or what are you going to give your boss when he comes to eat? You have the boss over. Pastor, we're going to have the boss over for dinner. Let's give him some leftover moldy bread and some steak that's, you know, just kind of rotten and got a little green stuff. Oh, he said, you wouldn't do that for your boss. You wouldn't do that for your governor. Why are you doing that for me? He says, you're giving me the polluted stuff. Why? Because you want to hold on the best for yourself. Hey, is it time for an offering? Can I have an offering here? We got a nickel under the chair. I thought there was a nickel under the chair. We can give that nickel, huh? Yeah. I found some gift cards the other day. I was real excited about it. I hadn't used these gift cards. I could give those gift cards. I found some gift cards to a place that had gone bankrupt. So you couldn't use them. Preacher, you want? I'll give you my gift cards. Of course, you can't use them anywhere. but they had about $40 worth of, I'll give those to the church. Can I get a tax write-off for it? And the Bible is saying here that these people offered polluted bread because they had forgotten that they were a privileged people. And they were just like, you know, whatever, whatever. Oh my goodness, it gets worse. Verse 10. This is amazing. He says, who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle the fire on mine altar for naught. You know what it means for naught? It means for free. He says, who do you have there in the temple that would even shut the door without saying, how much are you paying me for it? What, am I on the staff here? Do I get money for this? That's what was saying. These people, God said, who is there among you that would shut the doors for nothing? Neither do you kindle the fire on my altar for nothing. And God says, oh, look at this. He says, I have no pleasure in you. Wow. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. Verse 12. But speaking of his name, but you have profaned it in that you say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. And so these people, they're going around, they forgot the privilege that they had to be saved. They forgot that God could have chosen some other nation to bless. And they're, instead of serving God out of this open heart, they're like, you know, how much money do I get for this? You need me to teach the Sunday school class? How much are you going to pay me? Do I get to eat, at least to have the leftover cookies? You know? And God said, no. You're bringing the polluted bread. And he says, when you do that, now this is tough, you profane his name. So you've got a privileged people that are bringing a polluted bread, and because they're doing it, it's profaning the name of God. Now, you know, even when I was a little Catholic boy, we weren't allowed to profane the name of God. You know, if I said some bad thing, those Catholic mamas want to wash your mouth out with soap. You don't profane the name of God. But, and I'm not suggesting that our speech should profane God, but God says this is what they did to profane my name. Look at this. In verse 12, it says, but ye have profaned it, and that you say the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Now look at verse 13. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it. And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And you brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Ye brought an offering. Should I accept this? You know what it means in plain English when they said, what a weariness is it? Do you know what they were saying in plain English? I'm tired of it. You going to go to church today? I'm tired of it. You going to give an offering this week? Oh, what a weariness is it. You going to go to Sunday school and get your perfect attendance award? I'm tired of it. And God said that notion, I'm tired of it, profanes the name of God. Now, I'll tell you, I'm just going to be very transparent with you. I sometimes get tired. And there are times I'd just soon stay home and sleep as go to church. You say, Dr. Zachary, I've been serving the Lord for over 30 years. And there's just times I'm tired. And there's just times I go, probably go hear another sermon and hear another Sunday school lesson. And you're like, whatever. And I thought sometimes, that's just, I have an excuse because I'm old and tired. Now I'm 51 instead of 21. Okay. And so, I can do, but you know what? It's not being 51 that makes you say, going to church again, I'm tired of it. It's not being 81 that says, I'm old. It's when your heart's not right. And when I feel, oh man, you know, I got to go to church again. Does that have to do that? That's not because I'm tired. That's not because I'm old. That's because I've profaned the name of the Lord. And I'm just saying about God and His work, what a weariness is it? Now, I tell you what, if you're like I am, you got to be careful. You got to be careful because this church, oh my goodness, you got church on Sunday morning. You got choir practice at 4:44 on Sunday afternoon. You got church on Sunday night. You got church on Wednesday night. You've got soul winning on Saturday. You're going to have special meetings. You're going to, oh, I hear these stories. They're taking the teenagers here. They're going there. They're doing, and if you're not careful, the busy calendar of the church, you're just going to say, oh, what a weariness. I'm just tired of all this. And when you get to the point when you're saying, this is just kind of weary, I'm just kind of tired of all this stuff, you're not old. When you say, I'm just tired of all this preacher stuff, all these activities, it's not because you're just tired. It's because your heart has gone off. And that kind of thing, I'm just tired of it, profanes the name of the Lord. Wow. Well, I'm sitting there and I'm reading this text and I'm thinking, I don't think that God's just talking about those wicked Israelites. I think I'm one of them. I've got some of those attitudes myself. I sometimes think, hey, we're having a special offering. Let me give those gift cards that have expired. I sometimes, hey, we're having a special service. Where do I call in sick? You know? Hey, they're having a church work day. Oh, my back. You know. And sometimes I just think those things. And don't look at me so funny. You got me kind of stranded out here, you know. Like, oh, we've never thought those things, you know. But I'm telling you, when that happens, that's not a good thing. So I'm sitting there thinking, now hold on. If that's not a good thing, then what is a good thing? Now, how should I be going about this? Now, turn with me, if you will, to the book of Matthew in chapter 22. How should we be looking at all this stuff? Okay? In Matthew chapter 22, in verse 34, the Bible says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them," this is Matthew 22, 35 now, "then one of them, which was a lawyer, asking him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets." Okay, now, what's the opposite? What's the opposite of being, I'm tired of it? What's the opposite of, oh, what a weariness it is? What's the opposite of that is to love God with your whole heart. And number two, to love other people as much as you love yourself. And I'm telling you, this is the test you can give yourself to see where you are on the spiritual wavelength. Okay, over here. Oh, man. Zachary's in town. I suppose we'll have church tonight. It'll probably be longer because, you know, that preacher, he'll want to sing extra songs. Oh, what a weariness it is. Okay. Over here. God, I love you with all my heart. I wonder who I could help today. I wonder who I could do something for. I wonder if there's somebody in church I could be a blessing to. And if I can be a blessing to someone, that's the exact opposite of, oh man, what a drag. This is so weary. What a pain. Oh. I suppose we have a special offering, preacher. We need to take some, you know, tithes and offerings. Oh, what a weariness it is. How could I use what I have to help? Now, obviously, you can't sell your house and give all the money and live on the street. You know, God doesn't want you to do it. But you know what? How can I use what I do have? What's the best I can do? What? Did you just say, what's the best I can do? Yeah, because God says, love your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul, and all your mind. So the question is, what's the best I can do? Let me just start illustrating. I have taught so many thousands of piano lessons in my life that if you bump into me accidentally, I might just start teaching a lesson on autopilot. Just boom, okay, here, let's start, here's the D scale. I mean, I just do piano like by automatic. You know what happens sometimes when you've taught tens of thousands of piano lessons? You could substitute for me sometime. Because all you got to do is say, yeah, play it again. No, play it again. Yeah, you know, just say, play it again. Yeah, work on it a little bit more. And sometimes you're sitting there as a teacher. And when that lesson's over, I got to ask myself, was that the best I could have done during that lesson? Was that the best that I had to offer? Or did I offer polluted bread? Here's a student, they're paying me money, they've come in here to learn that, and am I just sitting there, or am I giving them the best that I have? And if I haven't given them, if I haven't given those people the best that I have, I'm not loving God with all my heart. And if I'm not doing that, I'm over here in Malachi weariness. Oh, this is all a big weariness. Don't tell me, more students coming in. Okay, well, let's go a little bit further. I don't know how many times I've taught Sunday school lessons. Now, we got this big mega church in Lancaster. Oh, we got thousands of people on Sunday morning. I'm telling you, we always have some teacher who's sick. And the guy who runs the Sunday school, he knows my phone number. Hey, can you substitute for this class? You know, can you substitute for this class? And, you know, you start thinking, oh, man, that's the class, and they always have bad food in there for the treats, you know, or whatever. And, you know, you start getting these things in your mind, you know. And but, you know, when you're teaching a Sunday school class, and you get up and say, oh, well, you know, you just do something here in the Bible. Just, oh, I got a lesson here somewhere, I guess. And you're done. And you ask the question, could I have done better than that? And if you could have done better than that, then what you offered was polluted bread. Oh, man, another lesson to teach. Oh, whatever. Oh, hold on. This is a tough one. I fail on this one 100 times a month. Your wife wants to talk to you. Now, is your wife like my wife? My wife always wants to talk to me when I have something important to do. Okay? I mean, and I always have something important to do, right? And she wants to talk to me, and I want to play the piano. I need to be on the computer. I need to, and she'll want to talk to me. And Angie will come and talk to me. Is that the best I could do? Was that conversation that I had with her, was that the best I could have done? Or am I just saying, oh, this is contemptible? Now, you see, what happens is it's just that day-to-day stuff. The lesson to teach, the child that needs instruction, the wife that needs us to hear, the neighbor who needs a helping hand. And if we're not careful, we get into this Malachi weariness. I'm tired of it. But when you're in that mode of thought, you are not in the thought of, Lord, I love you with all of my heart, and I love my neighbor as much as I love myself. You're basically doing everything you can to help somebody, or you're saying, I'm just tired of all of this. And my question tonight, I'm kind of driving at, is where are you finding yourself? Are you finding yourself in that spot where you're saying, man, people are a drag, and the church is a drag, and trying to help people, yeah, just... Or you're finding yourself over here, Lord, I love you with all of my heart. I want to do everything. Lord, I want to do the best I can. I want to help everybody the best I know how. Okay? Then what do you do? I think I've told you the story before, but I'm going to tell you again. Some of you don't remember it. Sometimes you don't know what to do. But if you are supposed to help somebody, then you better pray the prayer that I pray every day of my life. Sometimes I wake up praying this prayer. You know the big miracle prayer that I have? Here's my prayer. Lord, I have no idea what to do. I am not smart enough to do this. I am not strong enough to do this. Lord, if you don't show me how, then I'm sunk. But sometimes we don't pray that prayer. We're working with a teenager. We're working with an adult. We're working with a husband and wife. And we don't know what to do. Well, then we got to pray, Lord, I don't know what to do. You got to help me. I still remember Carrie. Oh, my goodness. What a crazy lady she was. Carrie's a piano player in another church there in Northern California. She came to me for lessons. She was delightful. She came and she wanted to learn how to play the piano better, but she never practiced a lick. Okay? You ever had a student like that? You know, she loved me. She loved my family. She loved us. She loved being there for the lesson, but she just never practiced. But you know me. Hey, it doesn't matter. Just pay me the fees, you know. And so keep the money coming. I'll take your money every week, you know. And so she came in there. And all of a sudden one day, I noticed that her little 7-year-old son was coming with her. And having that entrepreneurial spirit in my mind and wanting to keep those fees coming in, I said, you know, we should probably get him lessons somewhere along the way too. Then I can get double fees, you know. Oh, she said, that'd be a great idea. Oh, yeah, that's a great idea. And I charge the same for kids as I do adults, you know. And so, you know, get those fees going. You know? And so all of a sudden, I'm teaching Carrie and I'm teaching little Kyle. And little Kyle, he had these little, they were stubby fingers. And at the beginning, they just kind of didn't go right, you know. And he'd be there and suddenly he'd look up. This is weird. You know, he'd say with his little fingers, oh, put your fingers down here, you know. And he's going there, and his mom, and they would come to my house every week, with rare exceptions. One time he didn't come because he fell off his bicycle in his bicycle contest, you know, hurt his head. Okay. Well, they're there every week till Carrie comes in. She says, Dr. Zachary, I've got to talk to you. And all of a sudden, happy Carrie had tears. And Kyle wasn't with her. Oh, what's going on now? And she said, I don't know what to say. I don't know how it happened. But my husband has left me. And he's run off with a biker mama in the Harley Davidson gang. And I'm like, I've never heard of this before. I mean, he's run off with a biker mama? That's weird. She said, yes. And she said, this is what I need you to do. I don't know what to say to Kyle. You've got to talk to Kyle. And she said, 2 days from now, I'm bringing Kyle in here. I'm saying, what? I'm a fee collecting piano teacher. I don't know what to say to kids. What am I going to tell? Your dad left, kid. Get over it, you know. And I had a choice right there. Right there, I have a choice. I'm tired of these people. They bug me. I'm trying to teach them piano lessons. They don't practice. Then they bring in personal problems on top of it. That's a choice. Or, wow, these people come to my house every week and I sure would want to do the best I know how to help them. I wish I knew the best thing to do. What's the best I can do? I remember going in my backyard and saying, Lord, I admit to you and I absolutely confess to you, I have absolutely no idea what to do. I do not know what to say to a 7-year-old boy. I have absolutely no idea what to say. I looked down. And in our backyard there, it was kind of decorated with about baked potato-sized little stones. Okay, just little stones back there, decorative rock. And I just had the idea, I'll give him a rock. Kind of a stupid idea. Took the rock in, washed it off, got the dirt off of it, just set it aside. Next day, here comes in Kyle. Kyle's always happy-go-lucky. Man, everything's good. He comes in. Sits down. Kyle, how are you doing? Because my daddy left me. Oh, break your heart. I said, Kyle, I have something for you. He looked at me, what do you have? And I took out that rock and I said to him, I said, Kyle, we don't pray to rocks. We're not like some people, they pray to a rock. I said, but you can hold on to this rock. And I want you, if you really get sad and you don't know what to do because you're so sad, I want you to hold on to that rock and remember that you can pray to God and God will help you. Now, you see, Dr. Jackie, that's the stupidest thing you could have ever told a 7-year-old kid. I didn't know what to tell him. And I just said, God, would you let me do the best I can? And that's what he gave me. About 2 weeks go by, about 3 weeks go by, and the man would come every so often to visit the house, check on his little boy, even though he's still with the biker mama. And he came one night, and the little boy was in bed. And he asked Carrie, he said, why is Kyle holding a rock while he's in bed? And she said, oh, well, because Dr. Zachary gave him the rock. He goes, why did Dr. Zachary give him the rock? He said, Dr. Zachary told him when it hurts so bad, he didn't know what to do with the pain, that he could hold the rock and pray to God. And that dad said, he said, what? She said, yeah, when he told him when it hurts so bad, he doesn't know what to do with it. He could hold on to the rock. And you can see what you're doing to your kid. Whoa. Another week went by. Carrie came in and she said, Dr. Zachary, that rock has changed Dennis's heart. He's going to come back home. He's moving back in with us. It's really hard for me to tell the story. I'm sorry, because I care about people. But my last week in Santa Clara, before I moved down to Lancaster, there was a man on my door. And that man was there. And he looked at me in the eye and he said, sir, I'm here to thank you for giving my kid a rock. He said, I'm here to thank you because when I was doing wrong, you stepped in and were a better dad for my kid than I was. And he said, because you cared, you held our home together. And I just wanted to thank you before you move south. And I'm here to tell you, it is a privilege to serve God. It is a privilege to, it is not, oh, what a weariness it is. Oh, another stupid kid with another stupid problem. It is a privilege to say, God, I want to do anything I can and everything I can to help whoever I can. Help me not to say, I'm just tired of it. I'm just weary with it. I'm just tired of all this church stuff. Don't tell me that it's not important to serve God with all your heart. Don't tell me it's not important to take care of everything you can to help everybody you can in every way that you can. Because God says it just profanes my name when we say, oh, it's just such a weariness. I don't know what to do with these people. Well, I tell you, if you don't know what to do with them, then go pray my prayer. Say, God, I don't know what to do. If you'll help me, I'll do the best I can. But we don't want to get there where we just say, it's just, preacher, it's just, I'm tired of it. Another person, another problem, another day, another situation. It's not something to get weary of. Now, folks, I'm being honest with you. It's easy to get weary. It's easy to get weary in well-doing. But the Bible tells us not to. But we got to guard that heart. We got to guard that heart. That heart that just says, oh, I'm just weary. Not again. Oh, he's got trouble. Mary, give him a nickel. The little boy didn't need a nickel. He needed someone to care. People don't need your leftovers. They need your heart to care. It was a crazy situation. But when I was in high school, I think I was 15, 16 years old, a lady in our church, she couldn't read. And I remember that I got her the Bible on tape. Those many years ago. A few years ago, I saw her, ran across me in a meeting. I was preaching in Terre Haute, Indiana. She and her husband came up to me and he said, they were very simple people. They said, Mike, you probably don't remember it. You're probably about 15 years old. Mary didn't know how to read. You bought her those tapes. Mary took those tapes and started following the scripture along. Then she'd go, Pastor, she'd ask people, what's that? I'd say, well, Mary, that's the letter M. She goes, mm. She'd ask them, what's that? That lady taught herself how to read by asking people questions and listening to those tapes. They came up to me in that church, Bible Baptist Church of Terre Haute. They stood there and they said, thank you for helping us when we didn't know how to read. Because now she can read the Bible for herself. And I'm here telling you that every story I have that's a good one, every story that I have that's a good story, is connected to helping people and doing the best you can. And every story that I have that's a regret is when I said, yeah, what a pain. These people are a pain. Can somebody else handle this for me? And I'm telling you, in this life, you only go through it one time. You got the decision to make every day of your life. Going to this church and seeing people, you've got the decision to make. Are you going to give God and people, are you going to give them all your leftovers? Are you going to give them the polluted bread? Yeah, you know. Yeah, we'll give this for our offering. We have this old book at home. We'll just bring it in. Preacher, here's our offering. We got this old thing in the attic. We can give that to the church. Or are you going to be over here and you're going to say, God, I love you with my whole heart. And I'm going to do my best to love people, other people, as much as I love myself. And I want to put it all out there. You basically have those choices. You're either in the choice of, I'm tired of it. Or you're in the choice of, what can I do to help you? And every time you make the choice, I'm tired of it, you miss a lot of people. And every time you make the choice, what can I do to help you? You're no longer profaning the name of God, but you're remembering your privileged place that God chose you. And if God chose you, you can choose to help other people too. And every one of us, every day of our life, we either are going to be saying, what a weariness is it? Or we're going to be saying, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's really no in-between ground there. So I want you to think with me for just a minute. It's simple. This is so simple. Would you take a look inside? Because I can only see your beautiful faces on the outside. I can't see the inside. When you think about your life in this year since January, and you think about what you did in January, what you do in February, what you plan to do in March, are you giving God your whole heart? Or are you holding back with that Malachi spirit? I'm tired of it. This is content. What a weariness is it? When you look at that pastor stand up in this pulpit, are you saying, oh, another sermon? Yeah. Or are you saying, wow, what can I do to get something out of this? Because if I can learn something from the sermon, I can be strengthened and I can help other people too. Yeah. Or has it just all become another service? And if we're not careful, we'll be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, soul winning, but our hearts will be far away. And God's not happy until we are offering Him our best. Not the polluted bread. He doesn't want the lamb with the disease. He wants us to bring in the best that we have for Him. And so my question, as you look at your life, what's on your altar? What are you bringing to Jesus Christ? Are you bringing the leftovers? or are you bringing him, Lord, I love you with my mind, my body, my soul, my spirit. I'm going to do everything I can. In just a minute, I'm going to pray and have your pastor come and take the invitation in just a moment. The invitation tonight is very, very simple. I just want you to look inside yourself and ask yourself, can I keep my heart fresh? And can I do better? And if you're like I am, you just need to come down to the front and just have a word of prayer and say, Lord, just keep my heart fresh and don't let me be in this weary mode. And what can I do to help somebody? Lord, what can I do to help better? What can I do so that when I'm done, I can say, that may have not been the best thing in the world, but I did the best I knew how. And I left, as they say in sports, I left it all out on the court. I left it all out there instead of holding back. And God said, you have despised my name. And they said, wherein have we despised thy name? You said, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And you said, in plain English, I'm tired of it. What a weariness is it? God said, don't say that. No, no. Not to be said by God's people. What we should be saying is, Lord, I love you with all my heart. What can I do to help? Lord Jesus, I pray that you would take these